Morning, counsel.
Morning, Your Honors. Carl Hittinger for the appellant, Church & Dwight. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please. If it may please the court, 34 years ago, this court sitting en banc in the Texaco case made clear that a district court must undertake a meaningful, not merely deferential, judicial review of an executive agency's subpoena and enforcement action. To do so, the Texaco court said, an independent analysis must be conducted. We submit that the magistrate judge here did not properly conduct such an independent analysis in his mere 3.5 pages of opinion addressing the issue before this court, and in doing so applied.
Step back a moment and yes, sir. Suppose you win on your other products argument. Have you won? That is to say, what is the situation then? Don't we still have the FTC's no redaction principle, which, as a principle, as far as I can make out, you have not attacked?
Your Honor, in Texaco, this court spoke of information needing to be reasonably relevant, and we submit that.
It seems to me that you make the very good point, I thought, that there's a strange disconnect between the FTC's purported interest in other products and the fact that they aren't interested in other products if they don't happen to be on the same document, the information related to them. But with that goes, I think, a problem for you, which is that if the FTC has a legitimate policy of not allowing redactions from documents that it is all right for it to request, then and they claim, they certainly claimed before the district court, they claim that they have systems in effect to protect confidential information and so forth, and you don't attack that. Why isn't the no redaction policy, why doesn't that dictate the outcome here?
Clearly, Your Honor, there is such a policy. The FTC has abided by it for years. We submit that Texaco cannot be trumped by an FTC policy on redaction. That Texaco spoke of information needing to be reasonably relevant, and that means all information being sought. The difference we have here 34 years later that was not existing in Texaco is that now we're dealing with an electronic age of documents. And many of the documents at issue here are databases, which contain thousands of pages of information that the company uses for financial purposes. And perhaps tucked in 1,000 pages of financial data may be the word condom. And it's the FTC's policy that we cannot redact 999 pages of other products because of their policy. We think that's inconsistent with Texaco. We have to show the reasonable relevance of all the information sought in the document. It's not merely a page of documents anymore. It's thousands of pages of documents in the age we live in.
Is there any, did you, in the district court, explicitly attack the no redaction policy?
Yes, we did, sir.
You did. Because it didn't seem to me that your brief for us, briefs, was focused on the meaning to be given other products.
Well, I think, Your Honor, first, the magistrate judge never addressed the redaction policy. And the FTC, in their brief in this court, has not addressed its redaction policy.
They wouldn't. If you didn't, they wouldn't.
That's correct, sir. You're absolutely right. But we think that policy, again, cannot trump Texaco, where we're dealing with thousands of pages of information.
Is there anything in Texaco that establishes that or supports that proposition?
Well, you know, I read Texaco again last night, all those pages there, and first off, the definition of document used by the FTC didn't talk about redaction at all, and the Texaco court didn't address that issue, but they did talk about information throughout the opinion, and that's the operative word, information, not documents. This isn't like the Carter case where you had a single page that was being redacted, and on that page there was information on advertising of smoking and then other information. This is a case where we have 1.4 million documents at issue, many of which are these 1,000-page databases that the company maintains that aren't even printed out. They're just used as databases to search information, like Lexis or Westlaw, things like that. We think that makes this case far different. The other difference here, Your Honor.
No question, the FTC
reached very broadly and perhaps even overreached, but what is our standard of review with reference to the court's decision regarding the FTC's subpoena here? You're not attacking the subpoena itself, just the court's review of it, right?
We're not attacking the subpoena.
Right.
It would be a clearly erroneous abuse of discretion.
And what is it that should convince us that the judge failed that rather forgiving standard? You seem mainly to be dealing with the statement, or at least to an extent, dealing with the single statement on page 311 of the JA. By the broad standards of Morton Salt and Texaco, it's entirely plausible that information appearing in the same docket with relevant information would itself be relevant to the investigation, which you argue that does not meet the standard of reasonable relevance. But if you read the whole paragraph, and of course the judge doesn't speak in paragraphs, but the transcript has it in paragraphs, it comes out in the very end of that paragraph with the phrase be reasonably relevant to the investigation, so that it is anything wrong with entirely plausible, which honestly I don't see the problem with to begin with, it would seem to have been erased by the reference to reasonably relevant in the last clause.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. That is the full statement of what he said. But I think by interjecting the word entirely plausible, anything's possible kind of standard here. And he wasn't really using the reasonably relevant standard he should have been using.
Well, he was. He went on to say need only be reasonably relevant to the investigation. So why isn't it rather plain that he was applying exactly the Texaco standard and just giving it the context of credibility by the earlier part of his sentence?
All right, well, let's,
or paragraph. They're two separate sentences, I guess. But.
I understand, Your Honor. Let's dissect that a little bit more. He's saying the information appearing in the same document would be relevant, right? Merely because a word condom is mentioned in the document with other products doesn't make it relevant.
No, he didn't say it did. He said it was plausible that it might be relevant. You know, he doesn't have to find that it is relevant, only that it would be reasonably relevant
yes,
to the investigation, not to any potential outcome. And you seem to be urging that he would have to have figured out that it would be relevant to the ultimate trial rather than that it's relevant to reasonably relevant to the investigation.
Well, Your Honor, I understand your point, but he still has to look at the resolution and interpret it, which he did not do. He needs to look at the documents being sought under the subpoena. If you look at the subpoena itself, the subpoena, when it defines relevant product, it says male, latex, or non-latex condom. That's
reading,
the definition.
Keep reading the subpoena, though. What does the subpoena ask for?
The subpoena asks for all documents, but when they use the word relevant product, that's how it's defined by the FTC. So how could a subpoena that limits it to that product be able to obtain other products beyond what the subpoena itself says?
Because the commission will proceed under the LePage's theory, right? They've said so in the red brief. That's the link. Other products. Under LePage's, the other products don't have to be in any way functionally related to the potentially monopolized product.
Yes, they could argue bundling or tying or all those other theories that have been recognized by the courts. The problem with that is that argument that they're now raising with this court was not raised in the lower court. It didn't come into play until a reply brief they filed, and they devoted a mere four sentences to it, which we never had a chance to respond to. The magistrate judge never addressed the issue, and so therefore what we're suggesting this court is not reversal, we're suggesting remand and reversal, so the district court can sort these arguments out that have now been raised on appeal.
Well, in invention submissions, I think it's called.
Yes.
Judge Silverman's opinion, which is much more recent in time than the Texaco case. He makes the point that it is essentially the respondent's burden to show that the information is irrelevant.
Yes.
All right. Now, they've said they want to investigate monopolization in condoms, and you need to show it's irrelevant, and I don't see how with LePage's out there you can do that, no matter what we ask the district judge to do.
But it's not in the record. There's no connection in the record between condoms and bulk chemicals. That's the problem we have.
There doesn't have to be any, there has to be some connection in the dealers, that is to say condoms and cat litter, right, might be carried by the same dealers. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to argue about that. Supermarkets carry both.
That's true. They do carry various products. I think the telling fact here is that they have all the documents at issue. They've had these documents for 7 months. If there's any evidence of tying and bundling, we should have seen that evidence. We've not seen that evidence at all, and that's something the district court has to determine.
Well, what makes us think that they are or are obliged to be proceeding on this matter while it's sub judice? They could very well be husbanding their resources for this case to come up.
Yes, but I think they need to make some showing to this court of some reasonable relevance.
They couldn't make a new showing to us based on anything since the magistrate judge's hearing, could they?
No, they could go to the magistrate judge and amend the record, include these documents in there, and ask this court to consider
them. You really think we're going to start a procedure in this court that recommends people changing the records on us during life with the counsel? Don't try going there.
Absolutely. Just asking for.
You didn't come in here on the turnip truck, counsel. You know better than that.
And there are.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. We're asking for a remand to sort that out in the lower court.
And in the lower court, they've raised LePage's.
They raised it in a reply brief in four sentences.
Right,
it's never
they've
addressed.
Raised it. And if it's your burden and they reply, then if that's an adequate theory, then they carry the day.
I just don't think the record's been established on that. That's our position.
Well, it's a legal issue, right? What is the factual matter that would be open?
They have to show that there is some connection. There's some evidence.
That's what they're investigating.
We just stipulated that we all agree that supermarkets carry both products.
I don't think that's enough to show a reasonable connection, Your Honor. The mere fact that they carry both products. In a record that shows that condoms are sold separately and differently and marketed than all other products, and they concede that. This is a different product.
Listen, LePage's is a crazy case.
It certainly is. It came from my circuit, so I know.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it's there.
It is there. It certainly is.
It gives them a lot of leverage.
I'm right over my time. Thank you, Your Honor.
We could disapprove it, create a circuit split, and get this resolved.
But I don't know. Yes, we could. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Mark Hegedus for the Federal Trade Commission. As you understand, the FTC is investigating whether Church & Dwight has monopolized the condom market in the United States, including through the use of exclusionary practices involving non-condom products. The district
cat litter, right? That's what we're talking about.
Cat litter is one of the products. Yeah. We're focused.
Okay. Baking soda.
Yes, Your Honor. And we're focused.
Things that are sold in supermarkets.
Correct. Sold to retailers. From the perspective of retailers who are buying these products from Church & Dwight, they are related, even if Church & Dwight is not co-marketing those products to the end-use consumers. And the district court applied the broad standards for relevancy that this court announced in Texaco, as well as Invention Submission Corporation, concluded that there was reasonable relevance, including focusing on the fact that the resolution mentions other products.
Why is the FTC or FTC staff not interested in references to other products on other documents? It seems sort of weird investigation.
Your Honor, the FTC staff made the decision to begin its investigation by taking a look at information involving products other than condoms in the documents that were being produced that were responsive to the subpoena. The FTC has the ability to issue additional subpoenas if they determine that they need to dig deeper with respect to those non-condom products. One of the teachings of this court's cases, such as in Texaco and Invention Submission Corporation, is the fact that the scope of the investigation, the lines that should be pursued, reveal themselves as the investigation proceeds. So in this case, if the FTC staff determined that it needed more information about non-condom products to flesh out a theory involving both types of products, then they could issue subpoenas or other types of process to pursue those particular theories.
The theories may evolve, but you've got to have one going in, don't you?
Your Honor, we do not need to have a specific theory of harm going in. We need to establish that there is a connection, yes, between the resolution and the information we seek, but that connection is broad. We gave examples of why information dealing with products other than condoms was reasonably relevant to our investigation, including the importance of context in documents, the fact that, as the district court in the Carter case recognized, that when you remove some information edit out some information. It changes the nature of the document, so can the document can be more difficult to understand.
It's really going to your no redaction policy.
Yeah.
That's quite different.
In both Texaco and invention submission, the court recounted the theory advanced by the agency.
Yes.
It was not just a reasonable relevance between the document sought and a resolution which was free-floating and had no particular relationship to a potential violation.
And, Your Honor, in this case, the FTC has identified theories in terms of why this information is relevant. We've identified the fact that it's important to undertake comparative analyses of areas where Church & Dwight may face greater competition and understanding how they conduct their business in those areas versus the condom market where it faces less competition. We articulated the fact that among the potential theories.
Where was that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Articulated where?
It is articulated both in the Commission's order rejecting Church & Dwight's petition for
the Harbor-Jones order?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And which was affirmed by the full Commission when Church & Dwight sought rehearing. We also brought that out in describing the relevancy of this information when we filed our initial petition. We identified it as well. We identified
its relevancy to a violation, not just to the resolution.
It was its relevance. In that case, we were identifying its relevancy to the resolution and to our investigation. And the standard is whether or not the information sought is relevant to the investigation.
Well, the Commission has certain, I believe it has authority to write industry reports, right, to investigate industries that without the goal of discerning a violation, but perhaps to make recommendations to the Congress on legislation or something of that nature.
You're correct, Your Honor. And so the Commission's resolutions can be quite broad in order to pursue those obligations under the FTC Act. And indeed, you know, this court in the Texaco case recognized that resolutions of this nature are often quite broad. In this particular case, the resolutions directed is quite narrow in that it identifies a market where we're investigating the potential harm. It identifies potential but not exclusive exclusionary practices that we're investigating. And so it's not a broad-ranging, free-floating resolution. It is quite specific.
And needed to be.
Your Honor, it did not necessarily need to be. This resolution doesn't reach the outer limits of what the resolution could be. But the resolution...
But there is a theory lurking there. It's not just, as you said, free-floating.
There is a theory lurking there, Your Honor, but it is not a limiting theory.
And I understand that. You say, you know, even the resolution itself says, or other practices.
Correct, Your Honor. Correct.
And indeed, a resolution directed toward an industry investigation without the thought of a violation would presumably identify or have lurking behind it when challenged some rationale for thinking legislation may be indicated.
Quite possibly, Your Honor.
I mean, the Commission doesn't admit to doing utterly useless things just to keep busy.
Absolutely not.
No, I didn't think so.
But the case
law... You're
not
authorized to admit that on their behalf.
That's right. But the case law also underscores the fact that when you're judging the resolution, you look at the resolution. And you judge it based upon the face of the resolution. You don't go behind the resolution to see what is really lurking there.
You're looking just at the resolution. Cat litter and... Arm and Hammer baking soda don't jump out at you, but you have supplied the theory as you went along.
Yes, Your Honor, and they are. It is encompassed by the terms other products.
That term is used in the subpoena more than as used in the resolution.
The resolution specifically mentions other products.
The Commission issues CIDs all the time.
Yes, Your Honor.
It only rarely engenders a challenge.
Not very frequently, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, here's what we said in invention submissions. We referred to it earlier. Commission has no obligation to establish precisely the relevance of the material it seeks in an investigative subpoena by tying that material to a particular theory of violation. In these sorts of cases, in light of the broad deference we afford the investigating agency, it is essentially the respondent's burden to show that information is irrelevant. Now, so the sequence of events is the commission makes a demand for information. The respondent makes an effort to show that it's irrelevant. Surely that then causes the commission to show that it is relevant.
Yes, Your Honor.
Something specific.
Yes, Your Honor. And we did that when we responded to Church and Dwight's reply to the show cause order and explained several examples of why this particular kind of information was reasonably relevant to our investigation. The judge below also made an important determination with respect to the problems with having to make assessments of the redactions, and that's having to do with having to come up with some kind of theory that could govern or some kind of standard that could govern the redactions and the concerns of involving.
This is your no redaction policy.
Yes, Your Honor.
Was that an issue on this appeal?
Your Honor, the Church and Dwight has asked this court to overturn the district court's decision in part because the district court did not review its proposed redactions and then proceeded to explain why the proposed redactions would do no harm to the commission's investigation.
So rather indirectly might be on a review or might be part of this appeal.
Yes, Your Honor. The no redaction policy is there for a reason. It's important. In fact, it's underscored by this. The importance of it is underscored by this case's decision in Texaco, where the district court had forbidden or had ruled that the FTC should not be able to look at bid files that at first glance were concluded not to have a connection to the underlying investigation of reserves. The district court said that if the FTC wanted to look at those bid files, it should come to the district court and ask to see specific ones. This court reversed, saying the FTC is not going to know whether or not the bid files are relevant if it can't see what's in them. So the FTC should be able to have access to those bid files. It's similar with redacting information. The FTC may not know what is in the behind the redactions, and so may not know whether it should come back and ask for them. Your Honors?
I think that is your time, so unless my colleagues have further questions. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We'll reissue. I think we used up all of the appellant's time. We'll reissue you 2 minutes for rebuttal, counsel, if you desire it. You're not required to take it.
A few points, Your Honor. Thank you.
Could you, among them, tell us where the redaction policy is raised in the brief?
I think the redaction policy is raised when we talk about that the district court should have examined the documents at issue that Texaco requires. If he examined the documents at issue, he would have seen that the redactions that we're proposing are not going to ruin the context of these documents. And we've put in the brief here how we would do that.
If your colleague perhaps can, before you sit down, give us a page reference, that would be helpful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My colleague from the FTC has made a good point today, which is he said that they're looking for bid files. They're looking for a lot more than bid files under this issues before this court. They're looking at hundreds of thousands of pages beyond bid files. Judge Ginsburg, when you said that the government needs to come in with a theory for their case, that is the law, clearly. And in another case, Intel, which was a resolution issued just months before this resolution, they were quite specific in that resolution as exactly what kind of conduct they were examining: predatory pricing, loyalty rebates, discounts. And they were also very clear what products they were looking at, respecting x86 microprocessors and related products. That's what they said, and that's how a resolution should be written and interpreted. Here, we're looking at a resolution that refers to other products, but in the context of other Trojan products. We're also looking at a resolution here that...
I'm not sure I see the point. In Intel, they're looking at a series of chips, an array of chips, and they're concerned about potential violations with respect to one or several. Here they're looking at an array of consumer products with the same concern.
Well, their subpoena is not looking for an array of consumer products. Their subpoenas are looking for condoms.
And other products, as you said.
That's not what the subpoena says. And as my colleague said, they can issue a new subpoena if they want to cover the other products. I think maybe the court, and we're all getting ahead of ourselves here, because that issue is not yet before this court. That subpoena does not exist yet.
Well, they're asking for information about exclusionary, or they're concerned about exclusionary practices, including, but not limited to, conditioning discounts or rebates to retailers on the percentage of shelf or display space dedicated to Trojan brand condoms and other products.
Yes, and the first sentence of the resolution quite clearly says the nature and purpose is distribution or sale of condoms in the United States.
But it has those words and other products in the resolution.
It does, and we submit, Your Honor, that the interpretation is other condom products because there are more condoms.
Well, it doesn't say that, does it?
Not only is it not, that would be, you'd be on a stronger footing if they could not fall back on the pages, mm-hmm. right, where the nature of the other products is not important mm-hmm. as long as they're being provided shelf space by the same retailer.
Your Honor is correct, but we don't think that's an issue that the district court looked at and examined, and we think that the court should on remand. Thank you very much.
And if we have that page reference?
Opening brief, page 25 to 30.
25 to 30? Okay, so this is a piece of your objection that the magistrate, no evidence, no indication the magistrate judge ever reviewed this sample of redacted documents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to an objection that the redaction policy of the commission is right. unfounded.
Well, by looking at the redaction, he would determine that the redaction policy is unfounded. It's over-inclusive and unnecessary.
Not just misapplied here, but unfounded.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. We had announced in advance that the third